Reading from the book of the prophet Malachi. You have defied me in word, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. And what do we profit by keeping his command? And going about in penitential dress, in awe of the Lord of hosts. Rather, must we call the proud blessed? For indeed evildoers prosper, and even tempt God with impunity. Then they who feared the Lord spoke with one another, and the Lord listened attentively, and a record book was written before them of those who fear the Lord and trust in his name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, my own special possession on the day I take action. And I will have compassion on them, as a man has compassion on his son who serves him. Then you will again see the distinction between the just and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. For lo, the day is coming, blazing like an oven, when all the proud and all evildoers will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, leaving them neither root nor branch, says the Lord of hosts. But for you who fear my name, there will arise the Son of Justice with its healing rays. Verbum Domini. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Blessed the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent, but delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night. He is like a tree planted near running water that yields its fruit in due season, and whose leaves never fade. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked, not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. For the Lord watches over the way of the just, but the way of the wicked vanishes.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him. And he says in reply from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything. I tell you, if he does not get up to give him the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Verbum Domini.
One of the messages that comes through the readings for Mass today is the need for perseverance in prayer and also in goodness, justice, and righteousness. And often our perception of God is shaped by the response or the apparent lack thereof that we receive from our prayers. We pray to the Lord for the things that we need, and then when we do not receive them, we give up praying. And then we proceed to overanalyze the situation. Did I ask God in the right way? Did I ask for the right thing? Was I prideful in asking God in the way that I did? Does God not care about me? Is God ignoring me? Or am I not important enough for him to listen to me? Does God hate me or despise me? When we think that our prayers have not been answered, our thoughts tend to go in so many different directions. And eventually, our will to pray is weakened as we allow discouragement and despondency to settle in. And this is what we see happening in the first reading today from the prophet Malachi. In this reading, the Lord addresses a harmful attitude that has taken root in the minds of his people. The people say openly, "It is vain to serve God. And what do we profit by keeping his command and going about in penitential dress in awe of the Lord of hosts? Rather, we must call the proud blessed, for indeed evildoers prosper and can even tempt God with impunity." And clearly the people have become discouraged that their prayers and their works of penance have apparently gone unheeded by the Lord, and thus leading them into the erroneous conclusion that the proud and the wicked fare better due to their prosperity. The people begin to think that it is better to lie, cheat, bluster with arrogant speech, and to do evil, because it seems like the evildoers are the ones who are successful in life, while those who try to do what is right and just are the ones who suffer. And it's this dangerous attitude that Malachi addresses in this reading. And Malachi responds by distinguishing between those who fear the Lord and trust in his name, and those who are proud and who do evil. And he says, "For lo, the day is coming, blazing like an oven, when all the proud and all evildoers will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, leaving them neither root nor branch, says the Lord of hosts. But for you who fear my name, there will arise the Son of Justice with its healing rays." In other words, the Lord God encourages his people to continue trusting in him, even when they face difficulties and hardships, and to avoid the temptation to envy those who do evil, who seem to enjoy worldly success as a reward for their wickedness. Those who wait patiently for the Lord to act, and who continue to do what is right and just by loving God and loving their neighbor, and who do not stop trusting him despite those difficulties, those are the ones who will ultimately be vindicated, whereas the proud and the evildoers will be brought to justice. And then in the gospel reading today, Jesus launches into a brief discourse encouraging his disciples to persevere in prayer. And this teaching follows from the reading yesterday, wherein a disciple approaches Jesus and says, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And Jesus responds by giving his listeners what we call the Lord's Prayer. And perhaps one of the most impressive features of the Our Father, or the Lord's Prayer, is its sheer simplicity. Here we have the Son of God incarnate, the Lord and Savior of the universe, Jesus Christ, teaching us how we ought to pray. And if there is anyone who understands how God the Father wishes to be addressed or wishes to be prayed to, it would be Jesus, the Son of God. And if we were to imagine ourselves as the disciples of Christ listening to Jesus at the time, we would likely expect Jesus to launch into a thorough, complicated discourse on prayer and articulate the nuances of appropriate prayerful expression. And yet Jesus does not do this. He begins his teaching on prayer with a prayer that has become the model of all Christian prayer, the Our Father. And it is a prayer that is not only simple, but is direct and full of faith in divine providence. And once Jesus provides his disciples with this simple model of prayer, he then gives them a parable that helps further illustrate the love of God the Father. In this parable, a person goes to a friend in the middle of the night and asks that friend to lend him 3 loaves of bread. And the concept of friendship in an ancient cultural context is different than our modern concepts of friendship. Today we tend to view friends as people with whom we get along well with and share common interests. However, in the ancient world, friends not only shared common interests, but also regarded their personal goods as belonging to one another. And thus, when a person approaches a friend and asks for something that is needed, there's a sense of obligation on the part of the friend to answer the needy person and to provide what is lacking. In the parable, the person who approaches his friend in the middle of the night is expecting his friend to fulfill his needs almost as if it is owed to him. And this is not simply a matter of a friend doing a nice thing for a friend in need, but it is a matter of justice. And yet, for the purposes of the parable, the friend refuses to honor their bond of friendship and tries to dismiss the person in need by claiming that the door is already locked and his family is in bed. Jesus then says, "I tell you, if he does not get up to give him the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence." In other words, since the friend is no longer acting as a friend, the person still has the option of persisting in his request until the friend acquiesces. And the supposed friend may choose to honor his friendship, but he will not be able to ignore the person's consistent request for bread when he finally realizes that he and his family are not going to get any sleep until his friend's request is fulfilled. And by saying this, Jesus encourages his disciples to persevere in their prayer to God the Father. The disciples of Jesus are not to give up praying if they should receive a negative answer at first. They are to continue praying until they receive that for which they have asked. In other words, do not take no for an answer in prayer unless God has made it clear that no is the definitive answer. And Jesus then assures his disciples of the infinite goodness of God the Father. Even though the Lord has just given a parable in which a friend refuses to act as a friend, the Lord God never refuses to act as a loving father. That's his nature, to act as a loving father. Jesus encourages his disciples to have unwavering faith as they pray to God that they will receive that for which they have asked. And he says, I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Even earthly fathers who are sinful know how to give good things to their children and do not refuse to provide their genuine needs. How much more will God the Father, who is perfect, answer the fervent prayers of his children who ask him in faith, hope, and love? Now, at this point, some of us might be thinking to ourselves, Jesus says to ask and we will receive, and yet there are times when people ask for things from the Lord and they do not receive them. So what should we do in these situations? Well, it's indeed true that there are times when we persevere in prayer and that we do not receive that for which we've asked, or we receive the answer that we were not looking for. And to answer this question, I'm reminded of an incident in the life of King David. In 2 Samuel 12, the prophet Nathan approaches King David and pronounces a punishment from the Lord God upon David and his household for his sin of adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah the Hittite. And David hears this punishment, immediately admits his faults, and repents. And Nathan assures David that the Lord has forgiven his sin, but that his son that he conceived with Bathsheba will still die. And when the child becomes deathly ill, David doesn't just immediately accept the fact that the son is going to die. He spends the entire night in prayer, and he fasts entirely from all food, begging for the life of the child to be spared. But once the child passes away, David ceases his fast and resumes eating as normal, thus accepting the fact that this is the answer. His son is dead. And even though David did not receive a positive answer from the Lord, he continues to trust in the Lord nonetheless and does not forsake him. It's important to be relentless in prayer and to do what is in our power while it is still possible for something to be done. But once the will of God has been manifested in a definitive way, then, like David, we accept the will of God and continue to trust in his goodness, his love, his mercy, and his providential care. So in short, the readings today exhort us to persevere in prayer and to resist the temptation to give up or to lose hope when we are faced with troubling situations. When it seems like our prayers are not being heard, then we are encouraged to continue praying until we receive a definitive answer. As his children, we should not hesitate to approach God the Father with our needs and to present them to him simply and directly, with confidence in his love for us. And if it seems as if the response from the Lord is delayed, then we should continue praying until we receive an answer. And if the answer is unfavorable, then we are encouraged to persevere in faith, hope, and charity, trusting that the Lord sees the full picture and is directing all things. He will hold all unrepentant evildoers accountable while also vindicating those who persevere in doing what is right and just.